this morning will be clear, the word of God will be strong in the hearts of people, that every person's heart would be open, quietened before you to hear from you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be continuing on He That Winneth Souls Is Wise. We've gone through a fair amount in this over the last few weeks. We've seen that the life that we have here on this earth is very, very short, very short. The Bible compares it to a vapor and a shadow. We'll look at a scripture about that in a minute. And the way of wisdom is to see, well, what does the Lord want on the earth? What does He want us to do? And we know that the great mission of the church is to go to in all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So we know that there is a clear decision that people have to make. And the decision is based on the gospel. Now we in the church, we as part of the body of Christ, the way of wisdom for us is to get on board into this and say, well, I am going to be part of winning souls for Christ. You may not necessarily be up preaching and preaching a gospel message, but you can be part of winning souls for Christ. And this is very, very important for you to understand that. And I know that the outreaches and the way we're looking at things now is very much towards reaching out and preaching the gospel and getting people to receive the gospel, receive Christ as their Saviour and Lord, and to go on forward. Now, we're going to look at this in more detail. Look at Proverbs 11, verses 30 and 32, which has been our key scriptures we've been looking at over these last few weeks in this area. Today I want to talk about, what is winning souls really about? Is it just getting someone along to church and then they say a prayer and that's it? What is winning souls really all about? Is it more than that? I believe it is definitely more than that. We'll look at that in a minute. So Proverbs 11, verses 30 and 31. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the sinner, the wicked and the sinner. So when it talks about the fruit of the righteous, God expects the righteous to bear fruit. See, that's what He's expecting. He's expecting you, me, the church, to bear fruit. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So that's what we're to be bringing to people, is life. And of course, eternal life has all the benefits and blessings of God. And he that winneth souls is wise. This is very, very important. The way of wisdom is to be winning souls. Now, all too often, we've been thinking, oh, well, that person is a soul winner. That person is a soul winner. He's sort of got a gift of being able to win souls. I think that type of thinking has to be changed. What you have to see is that really the whole church must be winning souls, and that we are part of the body of Christ. As members of that body, we have our part to play. We have our part to pray, and I pray that you've done what I asked you to do last time, which is to pray for others in the church here. Did you do that?
Yes.
I hope you did. So pray for others, but also we should be praying for those that we know are lost, but we have interaction with them in our lives. And if you haven't been doing that, let me encourage you to start to do that, to pray for them. Pray for them in the Spirit, in tongues, because the Lord knows what they need, and the Lord can use you as a vessel to pray for them and their circumstances. So pray for them in the Spirit. Pray for them and praise the Lord and thank the Lord that He is doing something in their lives. And as I said, also pray for the brethren. All right, so we've got to get right away from this idea that, oh yes, that person's a soul winner, and I, you know, I'm not really like that. I don't have really an outgoing type of nature. We've got to get right away from that type of idea and get to the idea, and we'll see it more in a minute when we look in the book of Acts, the idea that the whole church is meant to be winning souls, and we all have a part to play in that. Each of us individually have a part. And that indeed can mean planting seeds, praying, sowing financially is part of it, you know, speaking the word, witnessing, etc. Yes, inviting others along, that's all part of it. But we have to have our thinking renewed so that we're not saying, well, I'm not a soul winner. You are a soul winner in that you're part of the body of Christ and you have a part to play to win souls. So confess, yes, I'm a soul winner. The Lord can teach me how to be a fisher of men. Okay? He can teach me how to be a fisher of men. He can teach the church how to fish for men as well, for men and women. Now, we have to be consistent in the way we act as people in the body of Christ in this whole area of winning souls. How do we speak? How do we act? Are we winning souls if we get them in the church, but then they disagree with biblical doctrine? You see, we have to be people that see that winning souls is getting them completely into Christ and into the right way of believing and the right way of fellowshipping. Okay? There must be a conforming to the word and continuing in the truth by knowing it. As we know, Colossians 1, 9 and 10, we won't turn to it, but it talks about being filled with the knowledge of God and his will. Can a person, has a person, have we really won the soul of a person if they might come to church every so often, they're not really fellowshipping properly, they don't really agree with the doctrine that's preached, you know, they sort of pick here and there what they'll believe? No. See, that person needs to come completely in to Christ. They need to come completely into the right doctrine and completely into fellowship. So when we speak to those in the world, we must speak wisdom. Not conform to their ways of speaking. We must declare the blessing we have in Christ, not declare the same thing that the world is having, namely the curse. You know, the Bible says Christ has made unto us redemption, wisdom, sanctification, you know, righteousness. All of those things are blessing to us. And that's what we should be speaking is we say, well, when I came into Christ, I've found a new way of living, a new way of believing, a new way of speaking, a new way of acting. In other words, you're a new creature in Christ and you've been changed. Okay, if you're not like that, then how can you be a witness to the world? I just think you're just exactly like them. You're under the curse and, you know, there's no witness there. But if Christ has made a difference in your life, then that's a great witness, a great witness. We won't turn to it, but in James 4 it says, what is your life? It is even a vapor. It's even a vapor. And that's why we've got to think in the way the Lord thinks in this. He's saying, look, you've got a short life. Make it count. Make it count. Let's look at Psalm 144, verse 4. Psalm 144, verse 4. As we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, I am your servant. I'm a servant of Christ. I want to do what you want me to do. And you should pray that. You should ask the Lord for that. Lord, ask. Ask the Lord for revelation as to what he wants you to do. Okay, as I said before, it may not be preaching from the pulpit, but it'll be something. God doesn't tell his people to do nothing. The Bible says we've been created unto good works. In other words, God expects fruit. He expects us to be doing something. Psalm 144, verse 4 says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. A shadow. that passeth away very quickly. We saw the word vapor in James 4. We see here his days are as a shadow that passeth away. What is vanity? Well, vanity is trusting in things that don't matter, you know, that don't have eternal value. There's lots of people like that, and their whole life is centred around things that really have no eternal weight or value. You know, as Christians, we should be trusting in the Word of God. We should be trusting in the Lord. We should be following after the ways of God with zeal. Zeal. You know, we heard on Tuesday night that we should be either hot or cold, not lukewarm. Now, obviously, God wants us hot. He wants us to have the fire of God in us. You know, the book of Jeremiah talks about God's word was fire within him. Now, I believe that word people of the word of God will have the fire of God in them. Because they'll know the value of the word, they'll know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and they'll have the fire of God in them because they've put priority on God's word. They know it's a seed, they know they have to have good ground hearts for the seed to produce fruit. Now, these are basic doctrines, basic principles of kingdom living. So we have to see things in the right way, as I said before. You know, our days are as a shadow that passeth away. We don't have a long time on the earth. So it's no use for Christians to be conforming to the world. You're not going to be any witness for that. And sadly, there are some churches which have gone right over into the conformity of the world. Well, that's the way of destruction. And certainly no witness. Because biblical Christians are different. The Bible calls us peculiar people. Peculiar in the sense that we are not understood by the world. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Bible says the world can't receive the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God has made a huge change in our lives. As I said before, we've got a new way of thinking, of doing, of believing. And so that's why there has to be that stark contrast where people see, yes, I see that as a Christian, these people are very different and Christ makes the difference. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Acts 2, verses 38 to 42. We want to see that if we're winning souls, what they have to come into. In other words, is it just saying a prayer or they get prayed over and then that's it? Well, let's see what they did in the church in the book of Acts. Good place to look at. Acts 2, verses 38 to 42. Starting from verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. He's talking to unbelievers here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the book of Acts, people got saved and then they got filled with the Spirit virtually straight away. There were places where people were saved and then they were filled with the Spirit later. Today, it seems that many people are not filled with the Spirit yet claim to be saved. That's not the biblical way, remember that. The biblical way is you get saved and then you get filled with the Spirit. The important thing is that people need to be filled with the Spirit. They need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They, of course, need to believe on Christ as Saviour and Lord. But they also need to go into Pentecost. Now, many churches have neglected that. All right? We can't neglect that. What we must do is say, well, you know, the biblical norm is people get saved and then they get filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, obviously, salvation, people can be saved by receiving Christ, as many that are, but they're not taught to go on. They're not taught to go on. Now, we must be people that teach to go on, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." God's calling many. He's calling many in Geelong. Verse 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." You know, the Bible says about Christians, we have been delivered from this present evil world. So people need to get saved out of, for example, this current generation we're living in is very secular. You need to be saved out of it so that you are thinking the right way. You know, it's very easy to think the wrong way unless you come into the Word of God and the Word of God thinking. Now notice what it says in verse 41, and this is part of 41 to 42, we'll read, 41 and 42. This is part of winning souls for Christ. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So what did they do? They believed. They believed the word that Peter said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And no doubt then they went on as well to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So there were about 3,000 people at that time that did that. Verse 42 is a real key. "And." Now the word "and" connects to that last bit. Okay, they believed on Christ, they repented of their sins, they got water baptized, and they got spirit baptized. And then, verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Can you see that winning souls is not just, oh yes, you're in the kingdom. It's got to be this thing about continuing in the faith. It says continuing steadfastly. Nothing could get them off this way of continuing. So being solidly saved means not, oh, I can go and do what I like still. Being solidly saved means I'll continue in the right doctrine and fellowship. I'll continue in fellowship. Okay, regular fellowship. I'm sure all of us realise that regular fellowship is very important. And in breaking of bread, well, what's breaking of bread? It's talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion of Christ. So, obviously we need to break bread, remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And in prayers, so continuing in prayer. Continuing. So, I want you to see that it's, you know, he that winneth souls is wise is going to be saying this whole we'll say mission that I'm involved in is to get people into the body of Christ and for them to continue to do what God wants them to do. And that means that all of us have a part to play. All of us have a part to play. As I said before, it's not just, oh, that person is able to witness and get people to cry. He's a real soul winner. You may indeed have a gift to be able to witness and speak easily to people. But we have to see ourselves as part of a whole body, the body of Christ, and in particular part of the local church that is working towards reaching out. And then when people come in and hear the gospel, for them to continue. So all of us have a part to make sure that they continue. Not to say, oh, it's all right if you don't turn up to church. Well, for a start off, that would be against my doctrine. You understand that, don't you? All right, so that's against the Bible's doctrine. And you don't want to be saying things that's in opposite to what the ministers of God are preaching. And you don't want to be saying things that are opposite to what the Word of God says. Okay? So you don't want to be... If you're part of winning souls for Christ, you want to say things that are in line with the Word of God so that they continue. They continue. Okay? I remember as a young Christian, you know, I was talking to another person, they said, "Oh, doctrine doesn't matter." And those words have come to me over the years, and I thought how silly that really is. I don't know where that person got those words from, doctrine doesn't matter. But it's very, very wrong. Doctrine is the teaching of the Lord, okay? The right way of believing. Doctrine certainly matters. Does it matter what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he God manifest in the flesh or not? You know, does it matter how you think about salvation? Do people need to repent of their sins and receive Christ as Saviour or not? You see, doctrine touches on every part of our lives, so it is very, very important. We could go on and on. Does it matter whether you're filled with the Spirit or not? Of course it does. There's a great difference. Come along on Tuesday night, you'll hear me speak about filled with the Spirit and power. It matters a lot. Doctrine matters a lot. And that's why it says there, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You know, what amuses me in a sad way are people that say, "Well, I can be out of fellowship and still be a Christian," and they miss the breaking of bread. They miss the Lord's Supper continuously. And yet Jesus said, "You do this in remembrance of me." You know, what a sad thing to miss that continually. And in prayers. Prayers communally and individually. So very, very important. As I mentioned before, pray for each other. Pray for the lost that you know. Okay? Pray for the ministry. We value your prayers, and each of us should value each other's prayers. So pray. You know who's in this church here. You can pray for each individual. And you should. And as we get bigger, you know, there'll be people you don't know, but you still pray. You don't give up on praying. So continuing is very, very important. And I cannot emphasize it enough that if we're winning souls, that they don't just come along and hear the gospel and say, "Yes, I believe on Christ," and then not continue. For a person to be completely one to Christ, they must continue. It's absolutely necessary. Have a look at John 8. We touched on this last time. John 8, verses 30 to 32. John 8, verses 30 to 32. Verse 30 says, "As he spake these words," this is Jesus, "as he spake these words, many believed on him." Many believed on him. That's what Jesus then said. Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So it's not just believing on Christ, is it? You have to continue. If you continue in my word. What happens if they don't continue? Well, they can fall away very easily. They can be plucked up by the devil. Okay? So it's absolutely necessary for people to continue so that they can live victorious, successful and strong lives for the Lord Jesus Christ in this vapor shadow of a life that we have now. Because if you don't continue, you can easily be led astray. The world system being set up and operating, this present evil world is operating so that it keeps people astray, keeps people out of the will of God, keeps people from seeing the gospel. Okay? The world system is not neutral. It's not neutral at all. because it's lorded over by Satan himself, and he's certainly not neutral. He's called the adversary. Okay? So people have to continue if they want victory. Isn't that what it says in verse 32? And ye shall know the truth. Well, what's the truth? The word of God. We won't turn to it, but John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. So ye shall know the truth. God wants us to be people that know the word of God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you can walk in freedom, in victory, in strength, in righteousness. Be established in righteousness, the Bible talks about. So, absolutely necessary for us, he that winneth souls is wise, absolutely necessary for us to see that the whole winning of souls is about they believe on Christ, but then they continue. They continue. And I'm teaching on this because I want us all to be on the same page about this. On the same page, so that you're not saying something different from what I'm saying or from what Matthew or Samantha is saying. Because we all, the ministry team here, we're all saying people that are going to be won for Christ will continue. They'll continue into victory. They'll continue. They won't just fall away. And the Lord has been teaching us a lot about this. So let's all be on the same page about it because we all have a part to play in it. Praise the Lord. A great part to play. God has given us great things to do. Look at John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. I touched on this last time, but I want to touch on it again because, you know, our mission on the earth, even though our lives are like a shadow, like a vapor, like the flowers of the field, you know, even though it's very short, our mission is very, very important. Very, very important. Very, very important. John 14, verse 12. Notice what Jesus says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's you and me, isn't it? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because I go unto my Father. You know, Jesus established the church. The Bible says he builds his church even today. And it's through the church that the works of God are done on the earth today. So what should the people of God be doing? What's the church? What are the works that he's talking about? Well, look at Matthew 9, verse 35. You can get an idea from there. Matthew 9, 35. Now, I know this church has been really prepared for this type of thing. More and more and more, okay? More and more and more. More and more and more. We're being prepared for this type of thing. Matthew 9, 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So there's three of his works, isn't it? So do you think the church should be teaching? For sure. Should the church be preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Should the church be healing? Yes to all of that. Okay? The Bible says very clearly, pray for one another that you may be healed. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They shall recover, the Bible says. So, you know, teaching is so very important, but it's lacking in many dimensions across this nation, across this city. But it has to be taught. And I've been very, very clear about this Church being a word church. You believe the Bible. The Bible is true. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom means people are brought into the kingdom of God through the good news that Jesus died for their sins and was raised for them, raised from the dead for them, that they might have life, life more abundantly. That must be preached, and the church preaches the gospel of the kingdom. Can all the members of the body have a part to play in this? Certainly, and certainly we should. And I want to finish with a well-known section of scripture in Mark 16. Mark 16, starting from verse 15, we'll go down to verse 20. Mark 16:15. Now, Jesus had been risen from the dead, and he's here giving a commission to the church, to the believers, and he's saying, these are the works, these are the things that are going to happen through the body of Christ, and this is what we have to be on board with. Okay? Now, we know the modernists attack this section of scripture, and it's no wonder, is it? Satan doesn't want it in the Word of God. Okay? Verse 15. And he said, it's talking about Jesus, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And pretty clear, isn't it? There is a gospel to be preached, has to be preached to every creature, that is every creature that can believe. That's men and women. Preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Salvation's clear, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there are signs that may not, and once again, it comes down to the whole of the church. Okay? The whole of the church, understand. You see, the whole of the church should know about casting out devils. And it's not just casting a devil out of a person. I mean, get the devil out of the situation. Get the devil out of your life. You know? Live victoriously, devil-free. You know, the whole of the church should know about speaking with new tongues. It shouldn't be a mystery that you're filled with the Spirit and you speak with new tongues, speak with other tongues. It shouldn't be a mystery, but it is to many. They shall take up serpents. What does that talk about? Well, obviously, preservation, protection. Now, we saw that in the example of Paul, for example. Drink any deadly thing. Once again, the protection shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There is a woeful lack of understanding about healing and health in the churches today. But you know, we preach healing and health here. And practice it now. Notice what it says in verses 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So you can see that the believers have to have the word for the Lord to confirm the word. So absolutely important for believers to have the word, to preach the word, to be people of the word, and to continue in the word. So I pray today that you understand about winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. And I'll ask the Lord whether to go on to a part 5, but this is really, really important that we understand that we are all part of winning souls for Christ. All of us. All of us. Not just one or two people, but the whole lot of us. Working together as a body. Working together in unity. Working together, praying, preaching, teaching, laying hands on the sick, etc. All of us working together. Let's close in prayer. Father, I praise you and thank you. I thank you for the word of God, which is clear. I thank you for the people here who are continuing in your word. Father, show us specifically in our lives what we can do to be people that are winning souls. What we can do, what our part is. Help every one of us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shelen gramam siklesh to koros vishpolando kerendevam sigla. The Lord is your strength. Do not rely on yourself. Rely on Him as your strength. Thank you.
The Lord says to wait upon Him, because those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And we commit ourselves to continue in you, in your ways, not to give up, not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in you in all areas. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Praise God.